This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Christmas, everybody. It's good to see you guys. Hey, if you have your message notes, go ahead and take those out of your app, the Bibles. Luke chapter 2 is we'll find the story that we're focusing on today in case you didn't know where you could find it. But there it is. And we're so excited. I love Christmas. I love it because the whole world stops, whether they recognize it or not, but the whole world stops to celebrate the birth of a baby, the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so I love this season so much. I don't know about you guys, I start on Thanksgiving Day. Anybody else start on Thanksgiving Day with the Christmas decorations? Nobody. Okay, couple. All right, one other person. That's good. I start Thanksgiving Day, tree goes up, and then I listen to Christmas music every single day. I have to do it on my own because my family doesn't want to hear it all the time, but I have headphones on. I play it in the car, and I just love this season. I love the decorations. I love the beauty of it. I love the lights. I love everything that is connected with Christmas, and I think for me, it's just looking at everybody and all the stuff out there pointing to one person, one event, one thing that happened in the world, and there is so much potential of joy within that event, and I hope that you feel it too. I hope that you're ready to go. I still will keep my stuff up through January 1st, at least. Anybody else do that? All right, okay, a few of you, all right, because you're going to put it up. It needs to stay up, right? Anybody leave it up all year long because you're, one, want to celebrate, and two, you're too lazy to put it down. I know. But we keep it out there, right? We want to celebrate, want to keep that focused on Jesus. And for me, it's really special, the family gatherings, the food, all that combined. And I think one of the reasons I focus so much on Christmas is I grew up in a family where maybe it was a little difficult. I don't know about anybody else, but my mom just had a hard time during the Christmas season. I remember my dad sitting us down one time, and he didn't know why, and we didn't know why. He just said, "Your mom has a difficult time during this time. Give her some space," and she worked really hard to make sure that we enjoyed it. But for her, I think it was just pressure, or I'm not really sure if it was the way she grew up in a poorer family that moved around a lot. So for her, there wasn't a lot of joy until later in life when she was able to really focus on that, and it was good. So I'm a little sensitive during this time about people that maybe have a hard time during Christmas. For some, there isn't a lot of joy for one reason or another because of the pressure, because of the things that happen. For some people, it's the missing of someone, you know, the family's not around this time of year, or because there's a person not going to be there this Christmas, and I think that wears on people a little bit, and it may be hard on them, and so we want to focus really on what Christmas is about, especially this time of year, because we want to help people finding the joy of Christmas, just finding that joy of Christmas to not be just for one day, but for every single day of the year, because there's great joy in it. And as we heard the story read by Jonathan, and we do love having the kids in here and just kind of looking at it from a different perspective, to remember what God did to bring it all together. That there was a time where there was this young couple, Mary and Joseph, who had to go to Bethlehem and be registered there. And while they were there, the baby was born, Jesus. And because they didn't have anything there, they did the best they could. They found a manger to lay the baby in, and that's how the first Christmas started. So low-key, so ordinary, so just beautiful in its simplicity. And then that wasn't the only thing that happened that day. And we want to look at the rest of the story because we're calling this series Fear Not. And in this series, we're looking at Mary and the fear that she had of change. And then we looked at Joseph and the fear that he had maybe of losing some things. And now we want to look at another group that had some fear, and yet God overcame that in a miraculous and crazy kind of way that we can find some joy in. So you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. This is the rest of the story of what happened that day. It says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." And there's that word again, the words of fear. Because they were overwhelmed, right? The glory of God and the angels. And this was just an ordinary night for them. Another night shift of working away from family, away from everything they knew. And when God showed up, it is scary for them. The angel showed up, it was too much for them. They felt overwhelmed. They were already feeling insignificant as shepherds. As shepherds, they weren't allowed to give testimony in court. They were kind of kept away from everyone. Everyone thought they were like lower caste, and they smelled like sheep, and so they were separate from everyone, and yet God showed up to them through the angels at this miraculous time. The first thing they thought was, this is scary. God showing up was scary to them. But then it says this, and the angel said to them, "Fear not," there's our words again, "for behold, I give you or bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as had been told to them. So before we kind of break this down and look at it a little bit further, let's just stop and pray. Father God, I thank you for the miraculous way even we have this story today, written down by a person who went and talked to the eyewitnesses, and they told this amazing story about this wonderful night when Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was born. And I pray you'll make it real to us today and speak to our hearts and speak through the word to bring us closer to you and to fill us with joy. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is such a powerful thing, and I want you to think of it from the shepherd's perspective. They're out there just doing their thing, and God shows up, and there's great fear, and suddenly they were able to move beyond the great fear to go discover something that we all need to discover, which is a baby in the manger. And they were able to move because I think God was doing something in their life, and they were able to come back a different people. So they came back praising God and glorifying God. They went from fear to something greater, and the reason they were able to do that is in verse 10. If you go back to verse 10, it says this, "And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I think for them, as they experienced this fear and worry and anxiety about what's happening, suddenly they were presented with a different thing. Their great fear was overwhelmed by a great joy. That their fear went to something else because of that trip they were able to make. They were able to move from where they were to the manger, and the joy overcame the fear, and it replaced everything else, because it's hard to experience both of those at the same time. It's hard to experience worry and anxiety and fear and joy at the same time. It's hard to occupy in your heart, because there's a great power in joy that overcomes our fears. There's a great power in joy that overcomes our fears. There's something about being joyful that moves away fear and anxiety and worry. If those of you that have children and you were there at the birth, you know that there's a fear involved with that, especially your first one, right? There's a fear, anxiety, there's a nervousness. But when the baby comes, like, all that fear is gone. It's just replaced with joy. If you have ever asked anybody to marry you, there's that period of, like, fear. Is she going to say yes, or is he going to say yes? And what's going to happen? And there's a fear that's overcome by joy when you actually hear the word yes. If you've ever given a speech, or if you're ever in a sport, or ever did some sort of performance, you know there's a bit of nervousness when you get ready to get started. There's a little bit of fear as you're getting ready to get moving, and then that's replaced by joy as you actually get to experience either the victory or just getting out there and enjoying what you do. But sometimes there's a fear that has to be replaced by joy. And as we think about that Christmas time, the fear that we can have about life and what's going on around us can be replaced by complete joy in what God is doing. Today I want to give you a definition of joy, maybe something to focus on if you are a person that worries or has anxiety or deals with fear. I like this definition of joy that we can use. Joy is the conviction that God is good and that everything he does is good and everything will turn out for good. This is kind of what happened to the shepherds, right? They were out there and they're afraid, and yet it's replaced by joy, and they're understanding this, that God is good, that God emanates good. Everything he does is good. Every action he takes is good. Every motivation he has is good. Everything he's going to do is good, and therefore everything that's in your life is going to turn out for good. That problem that maybe you're dealing with is going to turn out for good because God's going to make it that way. The transitions you go through are going to be good because God's going to make it that way. We may not see the full picture at the time, but ultimately it's going to become good. And that's where joy comes from. Usually we're afraid in transitions. Usually we're afraid when sacrifice happens. Usually we're afraid when things are going to be different this year. We're a little bit worried how it's going to look or what we're going to feel. And then God's saying to us, don't worry, I'm good. And everything I've ever done is good. And everything I'm going to do is good. And everything's going to work out for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I think that's the message of Christmas, right? In the midst of everything that's happening, God is speaking to the whole world and says, look, this is a good thing. It's a reason for great joy because everything I do, everything I've been doing has led up to this, and everything that's going to happen out of this is going to be good. So therefore, find joy. Find joy. Nehemiah 8:10 is a great verse for those that are looking for joy. It says this, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a strength in joy that overcomes everything else in our life and everything that's going to happen to us. And if we are in a period of anxiety and worry, we just go, God's strength produces joy in my life, and that becomes my strength in life. We had a retreat a few weeks ago with the staff and the elders, and we were just talking about some of the things we've been through in life and some of the things we've looked at. And we talked about transitioning from kind of where we have maybe been mindset to something different. And the transition will look like this, to go from a survival kind of mentality to a thriving mentality, go from surviving to thriving. And maybe you understand what surviving means. If you go through a lot of difficulty, a lot of things happening, you can get in that survival mode, right? I just got to do this to see this happen. That's all I can focus on. I got to get this paycheck to survive. I've got to get through this day to survive. My work may be that way. Your environment may be that way. I'm just going to survive this time. But to move from surviving to thriving doesn't mean you get rid of your problems. Wouldn't it be cool if you could just snap your fingers and go, my problems are all gone? Wouldn't it be awesome? But that's not the way life works. But can you go from surviving to thriving by simply going, I'm going to choose joy in the midst of it? Because in the midst of this problem, in the midst of this struggle, I'm going to choose joy because God is good, and everything that God does is good, and everything's going to turn out for good. It's just kind of changing your perspective. Where instead of going, this is all bad, or this is difficult, or I'm struggling, or this is not quite right, going instead, God's behind all this, and he's going to work through this. And it's all going to be good in the end. That's where joy comes from. And that's the joy that God wants us to have. Today, I want to talk about three reasons from the Christmas story that you and I can choose joy and we can find joy no matter what we're experiencing. We go, we're going to thrive during this time because I can look at Christmas and go, there's joy there. And that joy lasts beyond the season and that joy will hold me up. Three reasons for joy. It's on your outline from the Christmas story. Event. And the very first one, you can have joy is because God keeps his promises. Throughout the Christmas story, it is event after event after event after event where God is saying, I have promised, now I've fulfilled the promise. You know I keep my promises. Have joy. Trust me because of that. Look at verse 11. The angels are speaking and they say this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Now, why is that important? Why even care about that? Well, the city of David was where he was born and where he was raised. David born 1,000 years before Jesus. And the reason that city is important because God had promised that's where the Messiah would be born. 700 years before the Christmas day. Through the prophet Micah, God said this in Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet said, this little town in the middle of nowhere, that's a place where the shepherds live and they raise the sheep and they take care of the sheep. They're going to be part of the sacrifices in the temple. This little town, which nobody knows anything about, you're going to be special because one day the ruler is going to be born there. And so I'm going to shine my light on you, Bethlehem, and you're going to be famous because out of you I'm going to keep my promise. And it says this was known from ancient of times. So even thousands of years before that, God had promised that the Messiah would come. And he kept his promise on that day on Christmas. When you look at the manger, when you sing the songs, we should be saying God keeps his promises. The baby born in Bethlehem, born to a virgin, that's a promise. His ancestry is a promise. Born of David's family is a promise. Born from Abram's family is a promise. Thousands of years, God kept keeping his promise, family after family after family, until it came down to that birth. And God is saying, I'm still keeping my promises. He's still going to keep his promises to you today. when Jesus was crucified, that God kept his promises. This is the way it's going to happen. When he rose from the dead, God said, I'm keeping my promises. Every day, God keeps his promises, and you can count on it. Our key verse for this series is Isaiah 41:10, and it's my favorite non-Christmas Christmas verse. It has nothing to do with Christmas and everything to do with Christmas. And we've gone through this several times. I want to bring it one more time. Isaiah 41:10 says this, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. It's God's promise. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you right now. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I'll hold you with my righteous right hand. Do you believe God's going to keep that promise in your life? In the midst of a struggle you may be going through, in the midst of a hard time, do you trust God who's kept his promises day after day after day after day for thousands of years? Do you trust him to keep his promises for you today, including this one? And I think when you look at all the Christmas stuff, when you sing the songs, it's just a reminder, if God kept his promise then, he's going to keep his promise now, and I can choose joy. The second reason that we choose joy is this, because the Savior has come for us. Because the Savior has come for us. Verse 11, if you go back to that, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, a Savior. The Greek word there is the word soteria. It just means Savior. It means deliverer. It means someone who rescues. And I love the idea that Jesus came to rescue us, that we were in a big, big problem, that you and I needed to be saved from our sins, the people needed to be saved from their sins, and that even the name of Jesus means God saves. And the angel said, in this person, you will be saved from your sins. The separation that you and I have between us and God because of our sins is going to be removed through this Savior. Jesus came to rescue us. But he's also a rescuer in the sense that he saves us from our problems. He saves us from the things that we deal with. He saves us in the midst of difficulties that we have. And I don't know about you, but I've heard this story over and over in multiple ways. And it happens like this. Someone will come and they said, I went to the doctor. And you go, okay, what happened? Well, I went to the doctor, they found this thing. And I go, okay, what happened? They go, well, they told me I have to deal with this thing, but there happens to be someone in this town, in this region, this area, who's an expert at that, and they're going to be able to help me. I hear this story over and over and over. There is a rescuer here. And it just gives people a sense of peace and a sense of security. There is someone that knows the answer to their problem. They're going to rescue them. And the thing about Jesus is he rescues us from all problems. And he can help us through anything that we're dealing with, any problem that you're going through, anything that causes you fear and anxiety, he can save you from that. He saves us from our sins, and that's salvation, that's eternity, that's the big picture, but also in the small things that we have, the everyday problems. He promises to be our rescuer. Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5, it goes like this, I prayed to the Lord, he answered me. And I love this one. He freed me from all my fears. If you're a person that deals with fear, if you're a person that deals with anxiety or worry, this is a great verse to jot down and memorize. He freed me from all my fears. He replaced it. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. Isn't that cool? Followers of Jesus should radiate joy. Can you imagine what it's like if we all walked into every room and people go, there's something about them. Now, I don't think they would say they radiate with joy. That just seems like a strange thing to say about somebody, but maybe they think it. You know, if we walk into a room and they're like, they just sucked all the joy out of the room when they walked in, that's not a good thing, right? That's the opposite of that. That's the exact opposite. People should say when a follower of Jesus walks in the room, there's some joy here. Why is it that there's joy here? Why is it that I think everything is going to be okay just by having that person around me because they think everything's okay? Their faces shall radiate with joy. Their life shall radiate with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their face. I love that. I think the conviction that when God works, it's going to be for good because God is good and everything he does is good produces a joy that we walk into any situation and go, I may not see the answer, but I know if I get in a problem, Jesus is going to rescue me. He's going to save me because he came on Christmas. And that's a reason for joy. The third reason that we can choose joy, number three, is because we experience his peace. And I hope peace is something you're experiencing this Christmas. A peace with everything that's going around you, or going on around you. A peace that overcomes your fears. A peace that overcomes your worries and anxieties. It's just the perfect peace. In verse 14, the angel said this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Peace of God. That's a powerful thing. You know, when we worry, it pushes the peace down. When we're filled with anxiety, it pushes the peace outside. When we are dealing with fear, there is no peace, right? Because peace is the opposite of fear. When you have the Lord's peace, you can walk into any situation and go, it's okay. It's okay. Because I know this Jesus, and peace has come into my life. It may be a battle sometimes, but I replace the fear and anxiety with his peace. There are two types of peace that Jesus gives us and that we can experience. The first is the peace of God, the absolute peace of God. Isaiah, writing hundreds of years before Jesus, said this about him in chapter 9, verse 6. "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," and then what? "The Prince of Peace." I mean, almost, can you just breathe that in this morning? The Prince of Peace. He's the ruler of peace. The presence of God in our life just brings peace. It guards our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Having Jesus in our life through the Spirit gives us peace. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And just having that peace at any moment and knowing that God's got it, God's okay, God's got the world, God's got my life, I can experience peace just by having him in my life. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's in you. And one of the things he loves to give you is his peace. I've got this. That little baby who came at Christmas came to bring peace. And it's a good reminder of that. His presence just brings peace in our life. But there's another kind of peace that I think that God wants to give us. It's the peace with God. And I think this is the major, major idea, the major thought behind Christmas, the peace with God. Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." The peace with God. See, the Christmas story is part of God's biggest story, right? That he created us, he created mankind to have a relationship with him, to have this fulfilling relationship with him, this eternal relationship with him. And when sin entered the world through the first human beings and then has stayed in the world ever since, it has separated man from God, and there has been this wall that has come between us. There is no peace between man and God without Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came into the world, he came to bring peace with God. It's something we experience when Jesus is in our life. There is no longer a barrier between us and the Father, that the whole point of Christmas was to bring us back to the Father through Jesus Christ, the peace with God that lasts for eternity. That's why Jesus came. That's why the whole Christmas story. That's why we celebrate. Because God said, "I want a relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to know everyone. And so my son will come into this world as the perfect one, and he will die for you, and he will rise again for you, and he will take your sins away, and now we'll be at peace. We can have a relationship." And that's what Christmas is. All the other stuff is good. The music is good. There are certain Christmas songs I like. There are certain ones I don't like. I don't know about you. I won't mention my least favorites, but they are repetitive over and over and over again. And when they come on, I do turn those off, and I find something else. But that's not the reason for Christmas, right? Presents are great. I love presents. I love seeing people get presents. I love receiving them. I love giving them. I love that thing. I love the food, the cookies, the breakfast casseroles, all those things. I absolutely love them, but that's not the point of Christmas, right? That's kind of on the side. That's good. The Hallmark movies, I can take about 20% of those, okay? After that, I'm just done, right? It's all the same story. It's just a different setting. But I mean, I like the idea of them, but that's not the point of Christmas. All the things that we do are fun, they're exciting, they bring joy, but what's the point of Christmas? Is that this baby came. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world because God the Father wanted his children to come to him and be at peace with him, and that's why we have the peace of God and the peace with God. I hope this Christmas you have joy. I hope that you're able to choose joy. Even in the midst of difficult circumstances, I hope that you can stop and go, I have joy because I can see in the Christmas story that God is good and that God does everything for good and everything's going to turn out good because Jesus Christ came into the world. He's got it in his hands. And with him, I have a peace. And with him, I have joy. I want to close with a quote from Pastor Robert Murray McShane, a writer, pastor, and he said this: the truest, purest joy flows from a discovery of Jesus Christ. He is the hidden treasure that gives joy to the finder. If you've already opened your presents, and some of you guys have, you either cheated or you did Christmas early, right? You opened them up and you saw in there and you like go, this is amazing. And the rest of you, maybe tomorrow, some of you are going to extend Christmas because you got family, you're going to open that thing. This is great. I've always wanted this and it's wonderful. But I hope compared to that, Jesus' joy is way up here. The truest joy is in finding Jesus Christ, having that relationship with him. And so I just invite you, if you have that relationship, let's just sing and give glory to God and find joy in that. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's just inviting himself into your life. He's just knocking on the door and said, I want to come in. I want to have that relationship with you. I want you to have the joy. I want you to have the peace. I want you to believe. And that's where joy is found. And as we pray today, if you haven't received him, I just hope that maybe you'll take another step closer to knowing him as your Lord and Savior. And for those who know him, let's just give him the joy of this Christmas. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for the Christmas story, that we don't need to be afraid of life or the things around us. We don't have to worry about the world or the things that are happening in our own life, but instead we can be filled with your joy, a joy that just overwhelms us because you are working and you worked on that Christmas day. And everything is focused on Jesus. And he is the greatest gift we'll ever receive. And his gift of life goes on and on and on. And the forgiveness we receive and the mercy we receive through Christ is overwhelmingly good. And it's all part of your big plan. So I pray for us today to be filled with joy and filled with your peace because of Jesus. And I pray this in his name. Amen. Today, we want to welcome you. It's kind of a different thing if you think about it. For Christmas is the time of communion, where we do kind of focus on the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's built around the idea that a Savior has come. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, it's written, furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. John, who was Jesus' best friend, wrote this years later. He was not there at the birth, obviously. He heard about it as a story, just like you and I do. But he got to know Jesus face-to-face, in person. And as he reflected back on the life that he had with Jesus and the experiences he had, he wanted us to know something, that we have a Savior. We have a Savior that came for us. That's the mission of God. And as you eat the bread and drink the juice today, it's a reminder that Jesus came for you, so that you could have a relationship with him. So the bread is at, and the juice is at either side. And on this Christmas Eve day, let's celebrate not just the birth, but also the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's pray together. In this time, we recognize Jesus as our Savior, the forgiveness of our sins, the mercy we receive. We recognize him as the one who came to give us life, our personal Savior, the one that we know, the one we celebrate today. And as we eat the bread and drink the juice, may it be part of our celebration of Christmas and everything that's part of it. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come up when you're ready and receive your elements.